91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, right here in Cocoa, Florida. You are listening to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we're going to spend the next half hour today talking about the kingdom of God. I don't know if this has been a subject matter that's been beneficial to you, but it's been beneficial to me. A number of people have come up and told me that they really appreciated certain aspects of the teaching. And so we're going through the Sermon on the Mount is what we have been doing. And we have now reached the point of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're talking about the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom that belongs to him. And as that is reality, he wants us to understand his kingdom. It's not a kingdom that is supposed to be a secret kingdom. It is a kingdom that is supposed to be available to every person walking on the planet. God wants to be your king. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 9 today. Verse number 10 is where we're going to begin reading. We're going to spend the next couple of broadcasts in the Gospel of Luke. I thought we might get through with our Kingdom of God study this week, but it looks like we're going to bleed over into next week some. Luke chapter 9, verse number 10. And let me just read verse number 1 so verse 10 makes sense to you, okay? Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And in verse number 10, it says, and the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And I'll just stop the reading there to let you know that what he is talking about or what is getting ready to take place, the verse we stopped at, was the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what took place there. And that's pertinent because we're getting ready to, we'll before we end this particular passage teaching, we're going to show you what the people had in mind as a result of that. Before we get there, just a couple of announcements. First of all, we want to let you know that Sunday, Reverend Steve Hogue is going to be ministering with us. He has seen some phenomenal things take place in his ministry. He's got a heart for foster children. He's going to be coming, and he and his family, they're going to be ministering Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30. And we would like to invite you out to those special services. I've been preaching on revival and felt like God wanted me to invite Reverend Hogue to come. I call him Steve. He probably calls me Bob. He's going to be with us a couple of services on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Listen, if you've got kids, he is more than capable of ministering to kids. In fact, some of his kids are actually now doing kids camp ministry and things like that. Extremely good. He's written some songs and things like that that our kids sing from time to time in children's church. So it's going to be a great day of ministry. Want to invite you out. If you've got questions about foster care, possibly what all that involves and how you could get involved, come out. He will be more than happy to address any of those situations and answer the questions that you might have. But we really want to invite you out to, hear the word of God and experience the presence of God. That's coming up on Sunday, October the 14th, 10:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. October 15th begins the fall offering here at WMIE, and we'd like to encourage you to be praying about how you could be involved in the ministry, whether that's on a prayer support basis or a financial support basis. Be praying and asking God that you could be a part of keeping the word of God being broadcast on the airwaves here in Brevard County. So it doesn't cost you anything to receive the signal in your car. But believe me, there are operational expenses. I'm sitting here looking at a whole bunch of equipment that has been purchased to upgrade the signal. And we would encourage you to be a part of it. It is a worthwhile ministry. This ministry, in all honesty, it reaches more people than what I ever dreamed that it would reach. And so that's coming up beginning on October the 15th. And when they raise their funds, then they're able to return to the regular programming on an expedited basis. And so I want to encourage you to do the best that you can in that week-long period there. Also, with our fifth anniversary of the Refresh radio program coming up beginning October the 29th, if you've got any praise reports, any words of encouragement that you would like to share, you can call and leave us a voicemail at 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. Or you could send us an email at meritassembly@hotmail.com or leave us a message on meritassembly.com. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'll pass that information on however you see fit. So back to the Word of God today, Luke chapter 9. Jesus had dispatched the disciples. He had sent them out. You see, it is not just about the teaching of Jesus and receiving the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is commissioned the church to make disciples. And the reason that he commissioned the church to do that is because while he was on earth, he made disciples. And the disciples that he made transformed their world with the good news of the kingdom of God. And he expected that to continue on until he comes. And so the first thing that I would ask us today is, where are we in the discipling process? Second, where are we in the disciple-making process? Because we're supposed to be involved in both. We're supposed to both be a disciple, and we are supposed to be making disciples. And if you are a parent, you are a disciple-maker, whether you try or whether you fail. You are making disciples. I want to succeed in that area. And so I just encourage you today to look at Jesus' process in making disciples and then go about becoming a disciple and being a person that can make disciples. When the disciples come back from being dispatched, in Luke chapter 10, you hear about great successes, but in Luke chapter 9, they were also sent out. This was not a one-time event. It was something that took place on a regular basis. And when they returned, they gave him a report. Now, if you've been in the military, there would be a debriefing, a review. Okay, this is what happened. How were you successful? Is there anything that you would do differently? There was a review period. You know, many times people never take the time to reflect on an event that they put on or an action that they took to see to give it an analysis to see if there was any way to improve on that, because there's probably going to be something that comes up again in the future. Last year about this time, we were dispersing water and hurricane relief supplies throughout the community. And one of my board members said, you know, I've got some ideas on if we ever have to do this again on how to make this a better process. We were not professionals. We were, I had not unloaded a semi-tractor trailer, to the best of my knowledge, since I was about 17 or 18 years old working in a grocery store. And that was pretty easy. You'd take a hand truck, a hand forklift, you'd go in there, you'd pull the pallets and you'd pull them off and you'd stack them away, and then you'd go back. And back in those days, we weren't using forklifts at that time. Everything was done by hand truck. Forklifts were around. I knew what they were, but our particular grocery store wasn't using them a whole lot. But it was all nice and easy, and it all had the same lift, the same height. And so when we started dispersing hurricane relief supplies, we were learning on the fly. We were learning on the fly, and I discovered that a 53-foot tractor trailer with things that are not stacked on pallets is a lot of material. And so I tell our church there is a difference between a good idea and a great idea. A good idea is an idea that comes after the fact, and you say, you know what, we could have improved on that. And I'm a big fan of good ideas. A great idea is that same idea before you need to implement it, and before there are things that you say, you know what, I would really like to do that differently next time. And so I'm a big fan of great ideas, and one of the ways that great ideas come is whenever you've had a good idea after a previous event, the next time you go to implement that, you say, we're going to do it slightly different this next time. And so they came, they reported to Jesus, there was a debrief, and then this may be a newsflash to some of you. Then he took them and went aside privately in a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Jesus was taking the disciples after they had completed the task he had assigned to them. He was taking them away so that they could be physically and spiritually refreshed. He was getting them away from the pressures of everyday life so that they could be spiritually refreshed, because there was more ministry to come. Luke chapter 10, they were getting ready to be sent out again. Okay? And so it's very important. When Jesus calls you into some fellowship with him, please do not look at that as wasted time. I remember a couple of decades ago that there was a person that I knew that felt like the need of ministry was so great that there was no time to prepare for that ministry. And I want you to know that we've got to make sure that our sword is sharp, as far as the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. We don't want to use a dull weapon. We want to make sure that our blade on that is polished, and that it is honed, it is sharpened, and ready to be used. And God does not want us ministering from a depleted situation. He wants us ministering out of the abundance of our relationship with him, out of the overflow of our relationship with him. He wants us operating from a position of strength, and that comes from one-on-one time. Your devotional time is not a waste of time. It is very, very important. Before I come in and do these radio programs, I try and make sure that I'm adequately prepared to come in here. In fact, there have been times that if I wasn't, if I did not feel like I was in an adequate place, I would make sure that I spent time with Jesus to get me back to where I was supposed to be, because I don't want this to be a bummer that you listen to this program. I want it to be refreshing and uplifting, and that can only happen through Jesus living inside of me. Okay? So make sure that you take care of yourself. If you're on an airplane, they will tell you this, that in case of loss of cabin pressure, put your mask on before you put on the mask of your small infant child. The reason being is if you only have time to put one mask on, you want it to be yours, because then you're going to have the oxygen flow and you're going to be able to get oxygen back to that person that you're caring for. And so instead of minutes without oxygen, it might only be a matter of seconds. And so it's very, very important for us to respond with obedience, not when Jesus asks us to go and do something, but we need to also respond with obedience when Jesus wants us to come away and be with him. Okay? Those personal spiritual times, those times of devotion and sitting at the feet of Jesus, don't discount those. Those are very important. On this particular occasion, there were multitudes who saw that Jesus was taking his disciples away. And as a result of that, they followed him. It says in verse number 11, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. So this is pretty early in Jesus' ministry. And so even though there was one purpose in mind, these people were so desperate for the teaching of Jesus that they went all the way out into the wilderness. It wasn't the place that had been prepared for them. It was the place that Jesus was going to minister to his disciples. But they said, you know what? We can't wait any longer to listen to what God has to say. I don't think America can afford to wait too much longer for the word of God to be elevated to the platform that God wants it to be. The darkness is getting darker. The delineation between darkness and light grows by the day. There is a great distinction there. And there, you know, to quote the prophet Amos, multitudes, in the valley of decision, there is a mass of humanity, and many of them are hungry for something that's real. They're hungry for the word of truth. And so let's not compromise the word of truth. Let's preach the truth in love. So they come, and Jesus began to teach them about the kingdom of God. Now, they were familiar with kingdoms. They had been a kingdom. They had been a united kingdom. And then they were a divided kingdom. They had the nation of Judah, and then they had the 10 northern tribes, the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel had been defeated by another nation, the nation of Assyria. The nation of Judah had been overtaken by the nation of Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon's kingdom was overthrown by the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And then the Greeks, their kingdom arose, and Egypt rose to power again. And then Rome had come. So they knew what it was like to operate within the parameters of a kingdom. It's a mindset that we struggle with. But here he said, I'm going to teach you that the kingdom of God is different from every other kingdom. In the kingdom of God, people do not lord authority over other people. In the kingdom of God, people who are leaders serve those in the kingdom. Now, there can be an abuse of that mindset, but if you know somebody who is in the kingdom of God and they're not serving, then they're missing out. They would be closer to the least in the kingdom than they are to the greatest in the kingdom. And I don't care how famous they are, how popular they are, or how wealthy they are. When you are in the kingdom of God, it is about serving. And so Jesus began to teach them about the kingdom of God. Isn't it interesting that the kingdom of God was the subject of Paul's teaching later in the book of Acts? We've talked about that over the past couple of broadcasts. And then there is also the kingdom of God is the subject of Jesus' teaching. And you and I, we need, I think if it was important enough that Jesus taught them, it should be important enough for us that we avail ourselves of that teaching. Why don't you do a study on that? You can go back and listen to my broadcast, but there are several other phenomenal teachers out there who can expound on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And we need to listen to that. Listen, when Jesus says to go and learn something, there's a benefit from it. I did a series one time on God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. It's a saying that you first discover in the book of Hosea. And then Jesus says, when he comes, go and learn what this means. And then he comes back a couple of chapters later and he said, if you would have done what I told you, then you would have realized what I was trying to get across when I said, go and learn what this means. God desires obedience more than sacrifice. So when God tells us or wants to teach us something, you can rest assured there's going to be a follow-up exam. There's going to be a follow-up. God doesn't waste anything. Okay? So he goes and he teaches them about the kingdom of God. And I've seen this correlation a number of times as we've been discussing this. And it says, and he healed those who had need of healing. The kingdom of God is about making that which is broken whole. It's about making that which is wounded well. That which is afflicted, restored, and that which is sick, being healed. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I get fixated on how glorious heaven is going to be. That in heaven, there's going to be no more sickness. In heaven, there's going to be no more poverty. In heaven, there's not going to be any more temptation. There's not going to be any devil there. There's not going to be any demon there. The only thing that is going to be in heaven is God, his angels, and those whom he has redeemed by his precious blood. Everybody in heaven is going to want to be there. They are not going to be compelled to be there. You and I will be there because God made it possible for us to be there by choosing what God wanted in our life. And so I don't see a distinction between the proclamation of the kingdom and whether or not God wants us to be made well. I actually see God healing people now as an answer to that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that God's kingdom will manifest not just in spiritual ways, but in tangible ways in our life. I really, really do believe the King wants to heal. In the year 2000, my mother threw a blood clot while she was having some surgery. The blood clot ended up lodging in her leg, and the leg began to deteriorate. And so I began to pray, and the doctors looked at it the next day and they said, well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to do a debriding. They went in, they cut out all of the damaged tissue, and I began to pray, and I was speaking life to that. And they came in the next day and they said, we really don't understand this. This leg ought to be getting better, and it ought to be getting worse, but it is literally doing nothing. It is at a standstill. And that was because I believe this. I believe it was because I was praying life, and there was a spiritual battle that was going on in that situation. I said, I'm flying out there. Well, while I was flying out there, the doctors, surgically removed her leg. They ended up going back a second time and removing even more of the damaged area. And I came back and I prayed, because I've prayed. I've seen people healed. My pastor that I grew up under experienced healing. I'm no stranger to miracles. I believe in them. I believe that God. It's one of the four cardinal doctrines of the Assemblies of God. Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Healer, Jesus the Baptizer of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus our soon coming King. And I came back, and I was disappointed. My mother had lost her leg, and I said, I'm going to reevaluate everything I believe about healing. And so I went to the Word of God, and I looked at it, and I looked at it over and over and over again, and I said, God, I honestly can't answer the question of why my mother did not get the healing that I was praying for, but I want you to know something. I still believe in healing. I still believe in healing. And today I want to let you know, the kingdom of God is a better kingdom than you will find it. As the disciple said, no one else holds the words of eternal life but you. I can tell you this, the devil will not bring healing, but Jesus can. And I'm just so thankful that I'm not in this thing alone. And today, if you need healing, I pray that you would look to your King. He's a wonderful King, a wonderful Savior, and He will make you whole. I'm looking forward to being whole. There's parts of me that aren't here right now, but I'm looking forward to being whole in heaven for all of eternity. The kingdom of God is what we're talking about. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.